the Cinema Judge!
Hello and welcome to the Cinema Judge. To all my regulars, welcome back. Now, if you're new to the show, let me briefly tell you what we do here at the Cinema Judge. The studios, they send me interviews, film clips, on-set footage. I put it together to present to you, the jury, and you make up your own mind if you want to see the movie or not. I'm not going to sit here and yell and complain about Hollywood or actors or actresses, none of that. I just want to present you the evidence, because any movie is somebody's favorite movie. There's enough noise out there. I just want to provide a little bubble where you can come and listen and hear all about a movie. Because we all want to spend our hard-earned money wisely. Because we all want the same thing. An enjoyable movie experience. Now, approaching the bench today, we have the new Chris Evans movie, Ghosted. And this is going to be streaming on Apple TV+. And here's the lowdown of Ghosted. Cole, who plays by Chris Evans, falls head over heels for Sadie, played by Ana de Maris. They have a whirlwind 24-hour romance, and then he can't get in hold with her. He feels maybe he's being ghosted. His sister says so, but his family, his mom and dad, say, "You go for it, son. Grab the bull by the horns and make a romantic gesture and go find her." So he checks on his phone. She's in London. So he goes to London, and then before they know it, they're caught up in a worldwide adventure because she's a secret agent and he has been confused with being part of it all. Before you know it, they're on an international adventure to save the world. Here's a trailer for Ghosted.
I was just wondering if you wanted to, go out sometime.
You want to get a coffee?
Now?
Yes, now.
I'll just hang on. When I wake up, well, I know her name is Sadie. I mean, I know this sounds crazy, but I think she might be the one. She really is great. You'll see.
Any word?
She ghosted him.
I bet she isn't even seeing your text.
She does travel a lot for work.
Go to her.
I'm going to London. You get it. It's a grand romantic gesture.
Yeah, that is amazing, mate. 5,000 miles to surprise a girl that you've only met once, especially if she's the one who ghosted you.
No, she didn't ghost me. She just doesn't have an international calling plan.
Oh, right.
Where am I?
Oh, God, you have the wrong guy?
I'm a former.
Wait.
Can you walk, Cole?
Sadie. Who are you?
CIA.
So confused. They kept asking me about the taxman.
They asked you about the taxman?
They think I am a taxman. You're the taxman.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Got me kidnapped and tortured all after one day. I swallowed a rock.
You're the one who flew to London.
It was a romantic gesture.
Get every bounty hunter on the continent. I want her alive.
This is bigger than you and me.
Did it never occur to you that he could be a foreign asset trying to compromise your mission?
Who the hell are you?
I'm the boyfriend.
Do you trust me?
Is that a joke?
Now, at least for me, when I hear that kind of trailer, I feel it strikes that perfect balance, action, comedy, romance, just like the 80s type romance things like Romancing the Stone and all that. And I thought that when I heard it, And now when you hear this interview from Chris Evans, that's what attracted him to the project, because he doesn't get, you know, presented these kind of movies a lot. And once he was, it was, okay, I'm going to make some tweaks and do this stuff. But at its core, it feels like that fun adventure. And that's what these kind of movies I just eat up, because they are just a fun romp, for lack of a better word. So in this next interview, you're going to hear from Chris Evans talking about that process. And for me, this kind of stuff I eat up. I love hearing about how a project comes to be and how an actor decides to do it. And I've said this a million times in the past, but I'm going to keep saying it again. I want a reality show where I see that process, where we see maybe a writer even start writing it out, you know, working on it. He talks it through, and then he pitches it to his agent. Then he starts pitching it to studios. All that process I want to see, because me being just a movie junkie, I would tune into that every week. You know, show them going to an agent or a studio. They don't have to show who they're going to see. They can just say, show them going into the door. And then they come out, well, you know, they like the pitch. But if they wanted to show us that kind of activity, that would be brilliant. That's what I want to see. So anybody out there who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody, that's a reality TV show I could get behind. And just think about that. Watching it happen from dust to premiere. That's what I'm looking for. So this interview talks briefly about that, gives you a little glimpse inside that little window.
It was originally a pitch to me by a couple of writers, Reese and Warnick, and they're wonderful writers, very funny men, and it was just a great concept, just kind of a really tight comedy romance that I don't see very often, that I grew up on, movies like Romancing the Stone. And so I said, yeah, I'm in. And they came up with a script, and then we went and found Dexter, and then Anna, and then we all just kind of got our hands on the script and made a bunch of changes along the way. And yeah, it's just been a really, really fun collaborative process where everyone has kind of given their two cents, and I'm really proud of with what we came out with.
See? Let's make it happen, people. Let's make it happen. Let's see that show. All right. I digress. On with this show. Up next, we're going to hear from Anna, his co-star, who plays Sadie. And she talks about the same thing, what attracted her to this project. Here she is.
Well, I think what got me excited was all of that. You know, it was a combination of action, lots of humor. I thought it was a pretty originally funny, kind of like out of the box story, but it also reminded me of like the old adventure action films that I used to watch growing up. Also working again with Chris, of course, I thought it was a really good opportunity for us to get together again, but in completely different roles. And Dexter, I thought he was a very, very talented director, who I really wanted to have the opportunity to collaborate with. I really loved his previous works, and from the moment I talked to him and his energy and the way he is, I just knew it was going to be a fun experience.
Now, you heard her just talk about the director, Dexter Fletcher. You might be asking, what else has he directed? Well, he's done some pretty darn good work. He directed a couple episodes of The Offer, the TV show, Rocket Man, and also, he didn't get any credit for it, but after Bryan Singer was fired from Bohemian Rhapsody, he came in to finish the project. So when you look at that movie, he also had his hands on that. And he also directed the movie Eddie the Eagle. But he's not just a director. He has a long list of movies that he was acting in, so he still acts and directs. I just love that kind of performer and entertainer, when they could do both things easily. They just slip in and out of both of them. Because when you're an actor, you know what it's like to be an actor, obviously. So when you're directing, you get what's going inside of their heads. Now, coming up next, we're going to hear from Chris and Anna, and they're both going to talk about what the story's about how they meet for a whirlwind romance, and then it just goes from there. So here's Chris and Anna.
Broad strokes are that they meet at a farmer's market, and they have this really wonderful 24-hour date, you know, the type of thing that you run home and you tell your friends and family, and you say, oh my God, I met the woman of my dreams. I can't even believe it. And then Cole anticipates that it will continue, and he's texting Sadie, and he gets no response. And Cole kind of doesn't read the room, and he keeps texting and assumes he must have been ghosted. Or that's what his sister tells him. And he refuses to believe that and finds out that she's in London and thinks that the big sweeping romantic gesture would be show up and surprise her. A very, misguided decision. But he does show up and unfortunately gets mistaken for Sadie. And Sadie happens to be on this super spy mission. And Cole gets kidnapped. And then Sadie kind of is burdened with him throughout the movie.
We meet Sadie in the movie. And then it's at the very beginning when she also meets Cole. She's going through kind of like a hard time, kind of like a existential crisis in a way, because everything that she's worked for so hard, she's kind of like questioning if this is really the life she wants and if this is going to be it. Is this all? You know, it's kind of like that state of mind that she's in. So, you know, she's just in a farmer's market, minding her own business, trying to, you know, stay off the grid after a mission she just finished, and she's not feeling very great. And she meets Cole, and Cole, it's a really bad meeting. They start off really badly. And it's just these two people that you see that something, there's something in there, but so off. There's no way these two people would ever connect. They're completely from different worlds. They don't speak the same language. But at the same time, somehow he manages to get her out for a coffee and go for a walk. And you can see her kind of like intrigued by this guy who seems to her to be so small-minded and like from this little town who's never left the country, has no idea about anything in the world. But there's something about him that she's never seen before. And there's something that she's really curious about, and something that softens her in the inside. And they, well, things go well on that first date. She kind of disappears, but not for the reasons he thinks. So he obviously thinks she ghosted him, but really she's just working. She's on another mission that she had to go to. What she could never anticipate is that, first of all, that he was so needy and that he would be, you know, so impatient and so cheesy and crazy to go after her. And then he screws everything up.
Now you heard what they have to say about the story and how they met. Up next, we have a clip. Now in this clip, they're meeting for the first time. The scene takes place at a farmer's market. A lady at another booth had to walk away to do some edibles. Chris Evans' character is so different that he usually plays by a long shot. He's this guy who's never left really his home or anything like that. He's just a guy, simple, stays at home, does his thing. In this scene, she's buying flowers, and he's saying, oh yeah, these are a really nice flower. But when you really listen to the dialogue, there's so much double meanings in their words and the subtext. It's not a very long scene, but listen to it. It's really kind of fun and just gets that feel and banter and tone of this film.
Can I help you?
Yes, thank you. I'm going to get that one.
Begonia, nice choice.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
It is pretty.
Yeah.
Don't let any pets eat the leaves. They can be slightly toxic.
Pretty and slightly toxic. What is it with me and roommates?
Didn't realize you roomed with all of my exes.
And what makes this pairing up so cool is that They have worked together before, and you're going to hear later on how they talk about that. But you know they have a natural chemistry and banter and know how each other's work. So these kind of movies are fun because there's that natural fluidity already with them. So there's not any, you know, awkwardness really in their acting. I mean, they're actors. Everybody, you know, can pretend. But, you know, in real life, they're buddies or friends, and that just kind of comes off in each scene. Now, coming up next, we're going to hear from the director. He's going to go a little bit more in depth about the story.
You know, sort of like the Harry Met Sally kind of meeting, you know, when you see these two people meet for the first time, they are each other's equals in a lot of respects. And but they've both got big journeys to make, and this is the start of those journeys. And so, yeah, it's, I really want to play into setting up the audience and our cast to go, okay, we're in a romantic comedy. These two do get along, but they don't get along. There's obviously chemistry, and there's a whole world building around them, and hopefully we can feel like we're in fairly familiar territory where we go, okay, these two like each other. Something's going to happen to get in the way of that. What we've gone for is the biggest thing we can imagine getting in the way of that, that he gets kidnapped and she's a spy and she has to rescue him, and he's completely ill-equipped to deal with the situation he finds himself in, but all at the same time finding himself falling more and more in love with this woman who is extraordinary in every way and is very much trained to not have relationships. You know, that's her whole thing as a CIA operative, is, you know, the less emotional baggage you carry, the more effective you are at your job. And Anna is obviously quite brilliant at that, as is Chris at being vulnerable and a klutz. I mean, he's a complete klutz.
Now, selfishly speaking, just for me as a editor and producer of the show, I love it when a director isn't afraid to talk about the story and not just give a two-line statement. This guy gets deep in there. So for me, selfishly, I love that. Now, coming up next, we have Anna, and she's going to be talking about what the director's kind of talking about at the very end there, how Chris's character is just an awkward, clumsy, just person. He's not a superhero. He's not a guy who's jumping over buildings or whatever. So we're going to hear from her. And then we're going to hear from producer Jules Daly. And she gets a little bit more into those two as a team working together and their chemistry. That's coming up next.
I had never seen Chris playing a part like this. I think for him, you know, being the clumsy, stepping in the wrong places and falling and fumbling around it, you know, just being so unprepared and out of his comfort zone, and it was very funny to watch.
Anna and Chris are pretty magical together. One of them said to me, I think Chris said the other day, and he said, we're kind of like Bogey and Bacall. Like, they've done a couple movies together, and it feels like harking back to the other time of making movies where people would work together often in their careers. And I don't think we see that often enough. They both want to make many more movies together and find different genre of movies it feels to do together. So I think a lot of it will be like, oh, they're together again. Like, what are we going to see them do? And see them do something hopefully very different together in this movie. So I think people will be looking forward to it. I think that Chris is about to have a whole new career after his whole Marvel career, right? Which he's, you know, so grateful for and loved every moment of it. And now it's going to be great to watch what he chooses, which can be almost anything if you're Chris Evans, right, to do moving forward. So I think we're all pretty honored that, you know, he brought this movie to Skydance and to Apple, and he's been a big part of making the movie and so behind it in every way, and such a great, actually, partner as a producer. So I think for the people that know that, that's a different level of Chris Evans that is great to see. Anna's an executive producer on the movie as well. So they're really invested in the movie in every way. You feel it every day when we shoot. And so I think mostly it's about sharing that relationship that is there, a new relationship that an audience hasn't seen, to see that come alive. And as I said earlier, like the turning the rom-com thing on its head and making it just be, you know, a complete different wild ride and adventure than one maybe would expect when you start to watch the movie.
And she makes some solid points in that interview, because Chris Evans, now he could do anything he wants. And what I really like about actors today is that they're producing a lot more work. That means they're a lot more involved. They get to have their say in where the characters go. And in my mind, that makes them more committed and more passionate about the project. So you see less and less projects where it's just where they show up and just do what they're told and don't really care about what happens. He's involved and he cares about the character. And in speaking about his character, we have a clip for you. Now, in this clip, you know how they're talking about him being a klutz and just not necessarily like Mr. Macho? In this scene, they go out on that first date. Because after she leaves the place where she buys the plant, he says, oh, okay, I'm going to go up to her and ask her out for coffee. They go on a montage, if you will, of kind of doing their thing, having adventures. And then they come to the stairwell. And it's the stairwell where they shot The Exorcist. And he's talking about that throughout the movie, about how that's a scary movie. And she says, well, you have to choose not to be afraid. That comes a little bit later. But in this scene, he goes, okay, let's race to the top. And it's just a fun scene about, here he is going, okay, I'm going to race you. And they run up there and he gets all winded. It's just a cute scene.
Little bet, race me to the top. And if I beat you, you got to tell me what scares you.
I love this.
All right, I like the confidence. Hang on, wait. Let me just hang on.
Oh, come on. Put all that in here.
You're gonna carry all my stuff? Okay. Wait.
You're looking for pity?
That's exactly what I'm looking for.
Oh, my friend.
You ready?
Yeah.
And go! I'm guessing you work out.
Are you okay?
Oh, yeah.
Now, that particular clip is the part of that, I won't say montage, it's just a series of scenes where they show them throughout their day doing stuff. And then that date pretty much lasts all night, them walking around the city, doing stuff. And then he's walking her home in the morning. And then there's a little extracurricular morning activities, too. So he goes home all just giddy and happy. He tries to text her a couple times, no response at all. And while he's working on the family farm, they're like, hey, what's going on? Any response yet? No. And his sister keeps telling him, you can't be texting all the time. And he goes, well, emojis don't count. And she says, yes, they do. And that kind of stuff goes on and on. And then he realizes he left his inhaler in her purse, and that inhaler has a little tracking device. So then he gets on his app and says, well, where is she? Turns out, London. And then, of course, the family encourages him, except for the sister. It's kind of a fun back and forth in those scenes. But the parents are like, you go for it, son. Grab that bull by the horns. A romantic gesture. So that's how that all kind of starts grooving and moving, and how he decides, well, I've never left the country before. Well, why not? It's a romantic gesture. But before that scene, we're going to hear from Chris Evans talking about the closeness that his character shares with his family. So first him, then that scene.
He has this really close dynamic with his family, and they know him so well. So instead of having to show the audience exactly who Cole is, you have other characters around him kind of declaring who he is and filling in those blanks and really providing a lot of needed backstory with a little bit of with minimal page count. And again, it just kind of shows the domestic kind of very safe environment that Cole has kind of insulated himself in, you know, that Cole doesn't take risks, and he doesn't really push himself much and hasn't for some time. So the idea of going to London, just getting on a plane and going overseas, is a huge deal to him. So the fact that he gets caught up in this world of spies and espionage is, you know, a lot more than he can handle.
Drum roll, please. The woman of my dreams is in London.
England?
Oh, London. The lady in the mist.
No one calls it that.
The gray lady.
No, that's New York Times.
Are you sure?
Yes.
She does travel a lot for work.
There you go. That makes sense. She probably got called away last minute on this job and had to rush over there. You know, international calling plans and whatnot. I bet she isn't even seeing your text.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, so this is fine.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, Cole, you should go over there.
What?
Yeah, show up and surprise her. It would be romantic gesture, something we can tell our grandchildren.
Mom, you can't be serious, Cole. Going to London? No.
Why not? This is a perfect opportunity to get out there and grab life by the horns.
She's gonna think that you're psycho.
Or she'll think that I'm the kind of guy that's willing to jump on a plane at a moment's notice.
Wait, but you're not that kind of guy. You do not travel anywhere. You haven't even left the country.
That's not true. He was conceived in Ontario.
Cole, you can do this.
Yeah, but what about the farm? There's so much to do. I can't just leave you here.
Coleslaw, don't worry about the farm.
Yeah.
By the horns. Come on.
Oh. Yeah, go to her.
Now, I'm here to tell you, from personal experience, not every romantic gesture or grand gesture is successful. I tried one time. I got denied. And hey, she made the right call. I mean, I would have made her miserable. So she made the right call. But at the time, I was like, oh no. And but hey, you swing big, either win big or you lose big. Oh, I lost big. But again, it was the right choice. She knew what she was doing. I don't hold anything against her because, hey, she's a smart woman. She chose wisely. Enough about me. Coming up next, we have an interview with the producer, Delia. And I would like to say her last name, but I couldn't say her last name for all the money in the world. So I apologize to her. But this is the producer talking about how the two leads, they have two different styles of approaching a project and preparing for a role. And it's really fun to hear her talk about that.
Chris comes across as very smart actor who very deeply researches everything, very deeply thinks the whole thing through, who maps out his journey and his journey in the context. So, it's a person who turns up every day, but what you see on the day is 10% iceberg, but the work he's done is at the 90% of the iceberg, which goes like deep, 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 which he started ages ago. He's not the person who just shows up, whatever. It's a very talented team of people. I would say that the beauty of the project is how different is Anna de Armas and Chris Evans in that the way that she is a very intuitive person. She is very, she changes much more, reflects what's outside, what is inside the relationship. So it's beautiful how they play off each other. I think it's one of the most exciting new movie couple partnerships which the world will see, and I hope it will carry on for a very long time, pass beyond this film, because opposites attract. That's what's amazing, that they are very different and very interesting to watch.
Now, we're going to hear next from Anna. And she's going to talk about her character. She delves into it a little bit more about why she's doing what she's doing and how she wanted to be she wants to always be the best. Then after her, we're going to hear from Chris Evans. And he's going to talk about how him and Anna have worked on several projects now together. But it's the first time they get to be love interests. But yet there's still some of that combative stuff that goes on, like in any rom-com of this kind of nature. There's going to be a back and forth. And he just talks about that a little bit.
So Sadie is supposed to be the best of the best at the CIA. She's the agent, you know, that everyone would send to the most dangerous, you know, difficult mission that the agency would have. She's the taxman, you know. And she's been in countless missions, and she's dedicated her life and everything to this. She wanted to be the best. She's worked so hard in exceeding at everything she does. And her reputation and her career is what matters the most to her. And she's really good at all of that, but she's not very good at letting people in.
Well, it's the first time Anna and I have been able to play love interests, you know. In Knives Out, we're obviously adversarial, and Gray Man, same thing. This is the first time we actually are interested in one another as characters, and we still get the opportunity to argue and be combative. So it's this kind of nice blend, and Anna is so effortlessly cool and composed, and you know, she's just one of those actresses that when you're watching, you lean in and you're interested, and she can handle comedy and drama and action so effortlessly that I've yet to see something she can't do. So we were really lucky to have her, and it makes my job a lot easier, because if she's interested in me, if Sadie's interested in Cole, the audience will be. So her being the captivating force that she is makes my job a lot easier.
Now, we have another clip for you. Now, in this scene, they're driving in a car, and he's trying to get all mushy and talky and all these kind of things, and she's just like, come on, man. But you just get to really catch their energy and their charisma that these guys share together, and you can really feel it in the air. And these two, throughout the whole movie, you can just feel that connection. And I find that incredibly enjoyable, because you know they've worked with each other before and they're comfortable with each other. And it just, any kind of scene they could do like this, I bet you it's so enjoyable to mix things up like this and not always play the same characters, you know, back and forth together. But this time he's a totally different character and so is she. But this scene, he's trying to talk to her and, hey, it's okay. And she wants no part of it.
I'm sorry about Marco.
Oh, God, seriously?
You know, I'm trying to connect about a person that just died. Someone you knew well. Are you capable of that, or is that only on first dates? The rest of the time, it's just chemical weapons and passcodes and bullets and death.
Wait, what passcodes? What do you mean about passcodes?
The bug guy in the cave kept asking me about passcodes. Jesus!
He thinks I have the passcode?
Yeah.
And you're telling me this now?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was slightly drugged and kidnapped at the time.
Unbelievable.
Also, in case you forgot, I'm a farmer. I'm not a super spy. Why didn't you just ask me what the torturer was torturing me about?
You are unbelievable.
What? What? What are the passcodes? The least you could do is tell me what I almost died for.
Throughout the show, we've been talking about how these two have worked together on several occasions. We're going to hear next from Anna, and she's going to talk about that and how much she enjoys working with them, but yet they can be totally different characters this time around. But then we're going to have a scene, and now in this scene, they're on an airplane, and the bad guys are trying to get information. She's all, you know, strong and trying to maintain that whole presence, and then one of the bad guys opens up this device that she gives them, or like, oh yeah, this is a passcode deal. And he holds it in his hand, and then she turns this ring, and it shocks him. And so he passes out, and that gives her, that distracts the other bad guys in the plane. And then she utilizes that to start fighting. But in the same breath, she also utilizes that time to yell at Cole, because earlier in the scene, the bad guys looked at his phone, and on his phone, he took a selfie of them in bed together when she was sleeping. And in his mind, it was like, oh, it was a cozy memory. I wanted to keep it. But that tips off the bad guys and realizes, wait a minute, this is some kind of shenanigans going on. So she starts just yelling at Cole, going, what were you doing? You're a creep. And he's like, no, it was cozy. So it's like one of those scenes where there's action going on, butt kicking, but yet they're doing that fighting amongst each other whole situation.
I think Chris is very talented, and he is just genuinely funny. And I loved going back to sit with him because in Gray Man, we really don't have anything together, just barely one scene. But in Knives Out, where we met, he plays, I mean, we both play completely different characters. So it was kind of like fun, and I was really looking forward to this new dynamic between us. And Chris is really hardworking. He's laser focused. He just asks a lot of questions. And he's very, he just gets very into it, and he likes to talk about the scene and deconstructing the scene and understanding where the camera is going to be, what the action is going to be, what we actually need so we don't overshoot things, or, you know, he likes to know what we're doing, you know? And I learned a lot from him.
And just so you know, at the end of that scene, it ends with Chris Evans just kicking a guy in the nuts. It's just a fun scene. Anytime a guy gets kicked in the nuts, it's priceless. But up next, we're going to hear from Adrian Brody. Because with every movie of this nature, you need that larger-than-life supervillain. The guy who's just walks that razor edge of being not over the top, but not quite there. But he's still bigger than life. Is the word I'm looking for. And that's not always an easy path to walk. And we'll hear him talk about how much he liked playing this character. And then after that, we're going to hear from Chris Evans just singing the praises of Adrian Brody. Because we all know Brody's just massive collection of work that he's done is incredibly incredible. Can you say that? Incredibly incredible? But you know what I mean. He has a long list of great projects. And Chris Evans talks about that. Working with him was so, what a great time. And then in the same vein, Adrian Brody's going to talk about working with Chris Evans, not just as an actor, but as a producer and what he brings to it.
It's a fun character. I mean, I think there's an opportunity to balance a degree of menace and pretty overt comedy. As you can tell by his name, he's French. I've kind of leaned into a bit of that. I think there are parallels to Sadie's character, whereas they're both trying to determine what's next and can they live a life of sacrifice.
I can't say enough about Adrian. I mean, obviously, he's Adrian Brody. He's one of the best actors working. But he has so much fun with this character. He's obviously a gifted dramatic actor, but oftentimes those really good dramatic actors are pretty good at comedy too, and Adrian's no exception. He's so funny because it's still so real. Even when he's playing a big character, even when he's kind of going a little over the top, which is what he does with Levesque, it's still rooted in something really authentic and grounded. And I think movies like this, if you don't have a good villain, I don't know if the kind of tripod stands. So we were really lucky to get him, and he manages to be a dangerous, menacing threat while still being pretty funny.
Well, Chris is very, very much involved in as a producer as well. He's very hands-on, and I think I'm just really impressed in how thoughtful he is on analyzing what the overall thing is that we're here doing. He's got a real a good eye for things, so it's reassuring, you know, to have someone that is, you know, has a sense of confidence and knows what's going to work, and not just for him or his character, but overall. I understand what, yeah, he must be up against to, you know, shed making things look effortless and all these other aspects. But I feel like what I see in his work is he's brought a real great comedic timing element to it that's really wonderful as well. So I'm kind of keyed into seeing that and what he's doing, and so he's grounded, but at this, and you know, I think he's doing a wonderful job, but I love how he's infused this comedy with you know, a guy completely, you know, a fish out of water, completely like out of his element, and you know, totally enamored with this girl and chasing her around while she's, you know, assassinating people. It's a fun thing for him to play with, but I've been enjoying what I'm seeing.
Now we have another scene for you. In this scene, Adrian Brody is approaching Chris Evans' character, who's in the trunk of a car. He's gagged. He can't talk. And he just gives him a very wonderful villain speech.
So you're the tax man. CIA's golden boy. Your pseudonym has generated as much fun as you have. But I know you. I know you because I was you.
It just shows you how good he is. No matter what he does, from action, drama, whatever Brody does, he just totally immerses into that character and he becomes him. I just tip my cap to him. Now, coming up next, we're going to hear from Anna again, and she's going to talk about how much joy working on this film was, and on set, and working with the director, and just how skilled and talented he is. And then she also talks about that this movie has so much heart. There's so much to it. There's action scenes, yes, and there's funny scenes, but at its core, there's a lot of heart. And then we're going to play a clip for you. And in this clip, we have Evans and Anna. They're walking down a dirt road, and they're having that wonderful banter back and forth. It's a heart-to-heart, and they're trying to, you know, they're trying to communicate, but there's that little barrier in between them, because she doesn't want to let anybody in, and he just wants to get to the bottom of everything. He feels like he's been lied to, and she's like, well, I didn't really lie. It's just a sub-lie on top of the other lie. But it just shows you the writing in this movie and their chemistry together.
This set for me was full of joy. I had such an incredible time. And I think that started with our director, Dexter, because he is like that. He's so happy, problem solver, never complains. He's so excited, so grateful for the opportunity, so grateful to have us on set. He is also an actor. He understands what we go through and how hard it is to do things and to make things work and make it feel authentic and feel comfortable. It was just so amazing. I think this movie, you'll see we have like big action scenes and it's very fast-paced and entertaining and, you know, fun and all of that. But at this, I think underneath all of that, the story, it's very relatable, very modern. It's very charming. It has a, you know, the movie has a big heart. And I think that that's what people going to find the connection with. It could have been, you know, just two other, a completely different setup, and it still be touching, and it still be relevant. But I think, you know, it just happens to be in these incredible locations and set pieces and full of action.
You're a liar.
I'm not the liar here. I told you things I've never told anyone. It was all true.
Not all of it.
Okay, one lie about my job.
I really ate it up too, didn't I? Especially that sob story about your coworker that died. That is low.
That was actually true. Her name was Elena.
And she really died?
I may have killed her.
What?
She was an enemy agent. She worked for these guys.
You said she was a coworker.
She was. In a loose sense.
See, this is what I'm talking about. It's just lies and lies and more lies.
It's no lies and more lies. It's the sublight of the first original lie.
You're unbelievable.
Hey, fine, I lied about my job, but you lied about who you are.
Well, excuse me for fudging a few details to try and impress the most amazing woman I've ever met.
And this movie does have so much to it. There is a lot of action. There is comedy. But there is also heart, like she was saying. And that's what kind of sets these kind of movies apart. If you don't have heart, then you have nothing holding it together. And that's what kind of sells these kind of movies. It's the romance and just the lightness of it. The action's pretty great. I mean, there's some wild set pieces in this movie. I mean, especially the final scene and every and so many scenes in between. There's some great set pieces. But yet it's still light enough, but still suspension enough. It's just that balance and walking that line. And right before I even started this podcast, I watched it on Apple TV Plus. If you have Apple TV Plus, you can't go wrong. I enjoyed it. It has so many elements that are enjoyable. So I always say, hey, why not? You might like it. And if you like action, you're going to like this movie. You like comedy, you like this movie. You like that rom-com part of it. That's also there. It's kind of a win-win. I would enjoy your feedback. Let me know if you liked the movie or not. Now, I hope you enjoyed our in-depth look at Ghosted. If you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, any way to improve this show, let me know. Email me at cinemajudge@hotmail.com. If you don't want to do that, I'm on most platforms. I'm on TikTok. I'm on YouTube. Instagram. On Instagram, it's The Cinema Judge. Let me know what you think, because I can't grow if I don't know. But if you need to reach me or want to reach me, feel free to do that. And also, like I've been saying the last couple weeks too, on the metaverse, if you're ever in that world, if you go to Horizon Worlds, go to Ace of Clubs. It's made by Mikey Ace. I'm there a lot. It's just a great laser tag place. And also Rooftop After Party, also made by Mikey Ace. And there's several other places out there. But if you look up Cinema Judge, if you see me out there, walk up to me and just chat. I love doing that with people. A lot of people do that. Let's talk movies or not. Let me know what you think of the show. I value your feedback. But now, it's shout-out time. This is a part of the show where I give a shout-out to everybody, or not everybody, but a lot of the people who listened to the last episode. And if you listen to past catalog, and you think, hey man, why aren't you mentioning me? I only use this part to thank the people who listened to the last episode. But don't think for one second that I don't appreciate every one of you who listens to the back catalog. And I love hearing how you listen to this show. Some of you listen to it when you're driving to work, sitting at home, or just whatever it is. And some of you listen to it down the line, like I just talked about, listen to back catalog. So wherever, whenever, or whatever you're doing, this is for you. To all my listeners from the United States, Germany, Poland, Minneapolis, Minnesota, New York, New York, Alexandria, Virginia, Blacksburg, Virginia, Littleton, Colorado, Mooresville, Pennsylvania, Wiley, Texas, Valencia, California, South Hadley, Mass., in Frankfurt, AM, Main, Hesse, just to name a few of you. To every solitary one of you, you take time out of your life to listen to this show. I just like to share movies, give you the evidence, and you make up your own mind. And nothing makes me happier than sharing this with all of you guys. And so many of you, the same people show up every episode from all over the world, places I don't know anybody from. So to all you, every one of you, thank you so much for listening. But now it's time for this week's bourbon shout-out. And this week it goes out to Austin. I had a great opportunity to talk to you today at Target. I really appreciate your time. Thanks for talking movies with me. Cheers. Now, before I go, let me share with you the website in case you want to watch the TV version of this, where you can see the interviews, scenes, and everything else. Type in bit.ly/cinemajudge. And you can watch these shows on demand whenever you want, 24 hours a day. Well, that is it. My glass awaits. I'm thirsty. So cheers to you and to the movies. So until next time, be well, be good, and I'm gone. I'm Jeff. Thanks for listening to The Cinema Judge.